we all kind of know we're being lied to fairly often. But like, when does it matter? Like, when, like, what lie is going to be so too far? Like, one lie too far?
Right.
Where's that line? Like, when do we have to start paying attention?
Well, there was the line, like World War II, there was the line for people, and there's whole rabbit holes with that too. Sure. But I mean, then when it comes down to your own self or your family or your freedoms, or if you're winding up having to like participate in hurting other people,
sure.
Or you're, I don't know, there's how do you answer that question?
Yeah, that's, I guess that's, to me, that's what I worry about. That's why I look into these things,
because
I
can see things. I want to know. You can feel like it's going in the wrong direction.
Yeah, you know it's kind of going in the wrong direction.
But you also feel like it's not quite affecting me personally yet.
We believe that you are strong by design. And you were made in God's image to have a strong body, mind, and spirit. You're listening to the number one Strength and Health Authority podcast in the world. So let's get ready to unlock your potential and transform your life in today's episode.
Hey, what's going on? Welcome to another episode of the Strong by Design podcast. I'm here with this lovely panel of people.
I'm a panel.
That's a panel of people. But today we have something a little different coming to you. It's going to be a little bit fun and entertaining, but also it could be true. You know,
that's right. We're going to have some fun today.
That's right. No, I'm going to turn it over today to the other video production specialist that we have at Critical Bench, Steve Ochinski. And Steve is going to lead us through some fun material today. We're going to be looking at some different conspiracies that could be true, that could not be true. We'll let you to decide yourself. But Steve, I'll flip it over to you, man. Take it away.
Yeah, I mean, you guys asked me to do this podcast because I'm kind of always in the hallways talking about crazy shit. Our crazy stuff all the time. Yeah, a little beep there. So, I mean, we're doing a conspiracy podcast here. So I have like three conspiracies we're going to talk about. And as we go along, you're either like on the fence, like, ooh, it could be true. Or you're like, absolutely not. You know, this one's a bit outside.
Steve is bat crazy.
Yeah. He's bat crazy right now.
So you're endorsing these theories?
I don't endorse all of them. No, the theme of this is I don't really know anything, like, and I think that's a good way to live. You know, I think that's what's the Confucius quote? It's like, I have it somewhere in here. I don't think it matters.
Well, now we got to find it.
real knowledge is to know the extent of one's ignorance. I think that's a good quote to put in the show notes there.
Before we go too far, I blew it because it's not just Steve on the show. We also have Jesse and Mike is on the show. Jesse's never been on the podcast either.
This is super exciting for me.
So introduce yourself. Tell us what you do. What do you do for Critical Bench?
So you all know me. I'm Jesse, but I am the affiliate manager for Critical Bench. So I'm part of the marketing team here.
Yeah. And Mike, what do you do?
I fundraise to pay for the show.
Love it. I am Critical Bench. All right, so these are the rules. What's going to happen is I have three topics, and I have a little surprise here, actually.
Ooh.
A little surprise.
Behind the curtain.
Oh, we get a prize already?
So.
Oh, my gosh.
If you think that perhaps something I'm saying sounds realistic in some way, shape, or form, that's when you can don the conspiracy cap, the tinfoil hat. So
for those who aren't watching on YouTube and they're listening to the podcast,
they can hear it.
Yeah. So Steve has foil hats for us to wear.
I'll probably have it on the whole time.
Pass those
because
out.
Yeah. It's
only if we agree. We can't just wear them.
Well, it's because only if you think maybe there's
maybe
something.
Talk me through. What does the foil hat do?
Well, there's many theories about it, but I think I have one in my head.
Oh. Well, this one has like a cool little
pointer.
Yours looks kind of like a Whoville hat.
What's the theory behind the foil hat?
There's a few theories. One of which it keeps the lizard people's ESP from getting into your brain.
Got it. So they can't read my brain.
Okay. I'm not sure what it does. We'll see. Maybe it'll help.
I heard it keeps EMF signals out of your brain.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, EMF. All right.
Mm-hmm. What does EMF stand for?
Electromagnetic frequencies.
Okay.
I just made that up, but
I think that's it. True. Yeah. I think you got it.
It's all the stuff from your cell phone and your router and all the signals in the thing is like you're not supposed to have your cell phone or your router right next to your bed at night because all this stuff just gives you cancer
like
in your brain.
Design something that you wear at night to protect yourself from all the wave frequencies.
And that's what we just designed.
Beautiful hat we have on.
That's what you wear. Mine's a little small. Like, we need a little bit higher quality.
You don't even have like a little...
You don't have a pointer.
I know. A little pointer thing.
Mine just shoots it all to the middle and straight down my brain.
Yeah, these are the different designs.
I dare you to chew on it.
Somehow Steve gave me this one and intentionally. I don't know. What is
did you know if you chew on aluminum foil, you can get dementia?
What?
Is this true?
I read an email about it once.
All right, I have some terms here to start off with because they may come up, and I want to make sure everyone is up to speed. Rabbit hole. You know what that is? Like to go down a rabbit hole?
I go down them all the time.
Yeah. All right. Why is it called that?
Because rabbits dig holes.
Sure.
Because if you're looking into one thing and then it opens up like 50 more holes, you go down, and now you're so deep you don't even know where you are anymore.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. All right, you got that one. What about gaslighting?
That's when you do know what you're talking about, but someone else makes you think you don't know what you're talking about.
Very good. Gatekeepers.
Let someone else have a turn.
When you talk about the gatekeepers.
The people who have the information that are keeping you from knowing it.
There you go. Or try to falsify information to keep you from knowing it.
Got it.
Credentials, like expert at blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
I'm not an expert.
I was about to say some things. Glad I did.
All right. To muddy the waters. What about that one? I say, oh, they're muddying the waters.
Throwing a bunch of lies with the truth so you can't tell what's true and what's not.
That's a good one, too. What about predictive programming?
Predictive programming. So as far as like movies, shows, anything we're watching, they try to get you used to certain things ahead of time so that it's not as uncomfortable when it actually comes to light.
It's like Overton windowing our asses.
Yeah, yeah. So show you something earlier, get you used to it, mm-hmm. and then when it shows up, you're already prepared for it.
You're right. Like, oh, this happened on that show, so
not as out of the blue.
I mean, all of these things are sort of, they're like psychological screwing with you, basically. You know what I mean? It could happen on a large scale, which is what we're going to talk about, or it can happen on a small scale. Because the term conspiracy theory, when you throw it at something, that sort of, you know, disregards it. It takes the people looking at it, they're no longer going to look at it because they don't want to seem like a crazy person, which is what conspiracy theorist means. It means crazy person.
It's like a derogatory term, really.
It's a little derogatory, yeah. But when you call someone crazy, it's just, it disregards any of their evidence or arguments, like, like back in the day, they used to call women crazy because they found out something about their husband or something. You know what I mean?
And right.
Then they, oh, she's just crazy. And meanwhile, that's
gaslighting.
It's true, but it's just, it's gaslighting. So that's why the terms are important.
But there are conspiracies.
Say it again?
Conspiracy is a real thing.
A conspiracy is a real thing?
But then having a theory about a hypothetical conspiracy, that's where people are like, no,
you're just
crazy.
That's what's weird about it, right? Like, so conspiracy is like a serious matter, a theory is a serious thing that you would talk about. Slam them together, all of a sudden it's
for numbers. It's a good way to hide the truth.
Just trying to negate it, really, yeah. I feel like.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to go over three different ones. I'm going to start with a kind of a fun one that you probably heard of. There's one that I think is a little ridiculous, but I don't think you've heard of it. And then we're going to talk about the moon landing, which is the title of the episode.
All right? The moon landing.
So the first one, who's heard of the Mandela effect? You know what that is?
I have.
Carmen Mandela.
Nelson Mandela.
Nelson Mandela is who it's referring to. So the Mandela effect is sort of this, I'm not sure exactly what to call it, some sort of something that happens with people where they think they remember a certain thing one way, and then it's told to them that, oh no, it's a different way. And it's hard to find, like the main example is Nelson Mandela. A lot of people reported that they remember him and his funeral dying in prison in South Africa. I think it was like in 1992.
I have a good example. Continue.
Sorry. Oh, yeah. Well, I'm sure there's many of them. And then, you know, but it's not true. He died at home. And, you know, I think it was later on than that.
Yeah,
so like a lot of people, it's like, and it's not like a, it's not nuts if one person thinks it, but like there's a whole group of people that also agree that they remember this event. Yes. It gets kind of weird.
So what is the most popular Star Wars line?
I don't think I've never watched it.
a different one. A different
line. It's Luke, I am your father.
Yeah, Luke.
Luke.
Say it. Go for it.
I am your father.
But in the actual movie, he never says Luke's name.
He just says, I am your father.
Says, he says, no, I am your father. He doesn't say Luke.
See, I've never seen it, so I can't. I've never once watched Star Wars, so I can't
I just read
say.
That the other day. So
we're
going
to get
to
the conspiracy.
But everyone remembers it as Luke, I am your father. Like, that's what's quoted all the time, but it's not actually in the movie.
So here's a good one. It's I'll put some of these pictures in the show notes so people know what I'm talking about. Jiffy peanut butter.
Okay.
Jiffy peanut butter was never Jiffy. Maybe you called it Jiffy as a kid, and maybe you remembered it wrong. That one's an interesting one.
So it's only Jif.
There's Looney Tunes.
Which one's right?
The one on the left.
I think the one on the right is the correct one. The one on the left is how everyone remembers it.
Really?
So Looney Tunes isn't spelt Tunes, T-O-O-N-S. It's spelt Tunes like music. Yeah. Looney Tunes.
Who would have known?
The Berenstain Bears is kind of the famous one that's been talked about. It's just sort of the spelling of Berenstain Bears.
I know
Bears.
That one because I have to read that to my kids, or I get to.
You read it all the
time.
And
I was like, they spelled it wrong? That's how you spell it? And I Googled it and stuff, so.
Yeah.
I've been down this rabbit hole.
rabbit hole. Curious George never had a tail?
I don't remember him having a tail, did he?
I thought it was just like a little nub.
It's not Sex in the City, it's Sex and the City.
That I knew, because love that show.
Well, that one you knew. I think the spelling of Febreze. A lot of these are like marketing stuff that we remember in our zeitgeist. Huh. Oscar Mayer versus Oscar Mayer. Skechers. Fruit Loops is one that confused me. It's two O's in fruit.
Fruit.
Everyone remembers this picture of King Henry VIII with the turkey leg. It never really existed. Monopoly Man doesn't have a monocle. Never has.
Really?
Never will.
Maybe the Peanut Man had a monocle. Yes, but
there's,
not Monopoly
there's the
Man.
Mix up.
There's Pikachu thing. I mean, there's a bunch of this one gets me all the time. The Fruit of the Loom never had that cornucopia in their logo. Just never existed.
These are kind of crazy.
We just made them up. Weird. So that's the phenomenon. Now I'm going to go over the conspiracy behind it, right? That could just be a... So there's three options, really, from the research that I've done, limited research on this.
Who added that to it, then?
I don't know.
Why?
That's what I'm thinking.
So that is some of the questions. So either people just... Their memories aren't very good, and, like, we can't really trust, you know, things that we think we remember, like, correctly... But we can't really because our perceptions are different. We all kind of remember things differently, and that's just the human brain is a little weird. So that's option A.
But you think you remember it correctly.
Option B is somebody is going back and sort of changing little things about things that don't really matter in the world in order to sort of gaslight us to think that we don't remember things properly. So we don't look any further into maybe possible giant changes they make in our history, our written history.
In the Matrix.
Confuse us a bit.
And then the third conspiracy, the option we have is, it's a big one with this Mandela effect. A lot of people talk about this. You know what CERN is, or the collider in, I think it's in Switzerland. It's like a science experiment. They broke up two atoms and they make them go really fast to each other and explode. No. And they created the, I think it's the Boggs-Hizen particle, like the God particle they call it, or dark matter. These scientists are doing some crazy stuff in there. Anyways, the theory is that every time they run that experiment, we shift outside of our, like, our dimension and we enter a new one where these things are a little bit different, and it's just these little differences that are showing up and not the main
ones. This was also in Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
That's
interesting.
Good.
Is this the with first predictive programming.
I'd say that those are the three theories as to what this phenomenon is.
The Mandela effect.
Yeah, either we're just kind of dumb, we're being tricked to think we're dumb, or we're like somehow we're in a new dimension where the cornucopia never existed, and it's just those little changes that are being changed and not.
Can it be another option, or has it be those three?
Do you have a fourth option?
Yeah. It's just some people didn't really remember, and then they started calling it something, and then other people just started calling it that, and then everyone just started calling it that.
Yeah, but how does that happen with a picture?
Right.
Like, how come that thing is added to the Fruit of the Loom thing? Like, someone added that?
What do you mean?
That's what I mean. Who added it?
The guy who wrote up that webpage.
No, because I remember it that way.
Everyone remembers the cornucopia in the Fruit of the Loom
underwear. Is that what you remember, or do you remember it without?
I don't really remember Fruit of the Loom logos. Pick another one.
there's just a whole list here I was just going through. It's Cheez-Its.
It's just people spelling things wrong and stuff.
But they put it into the logo.
Spelling parts of the logo.
People just don't know how to spell.
C-3PO has a silver leg.
No, he does not.
He does not. I have that guy, and he doesn't have that.
You can watch the movies and prove me wrong. On the next episode of Strong by Design, we watch Star Wars.
That might be my first time.
I don't know. There's a bunch of them. This is just a dumb list of a bunch of them. I just thought it's an interesting phenomenon because it kind of gets your head thinking, like, what Like, why don't we remember things differently? And sort of maybe explain some of all of the conspiracy theories.
Haven't they done studies, too, where they have, like, five people watch the same event and they all remember it differently?
It's true. Yep. I forget the name of the study.
Is it just different people's perspectives on something? Yes. Five witnesses, you get five different perspectives on what happened.
It could be. Yeah, it depends on what your perspective is. Like, I would argue stuff in the sky that we see now, we have very scientific kind of minded brains. So we picture metal, we picture a machine, we picture these other things. Back in the day when there was no machines and metal and science, they probably not thinking they're from outer space. People see something in the sky and they think something magical or supernatural or a ghost or a spirit. You know what I mean? It's just like how your brain is sort of programmed to see certain events. I thought the Mandela effect was interesting.
Is that one that we say whether we agree with it or
you could take off your tinfoil hat?
Or it just is what it is.
If it is just what it is, then you could take off your tinfoil hat. Or if you think there's something more to that effect, keep it on. I guess that's how
something more to it, like multi dimensions
or intentionally
dimensions, or they are switching things to gaslight us into thinking trust our memories.
I do think that could totally happen with bigger things. I don't think anyone cares about cereal boxes and stuff.
Oh no, I mean that's the point though, is that they do it to things you don't care about, so that when they do change the big thing, you question your own sanity.
Right. No, I do think that totally happens, but I don't think they're like messing with brands and logos and things.
I hope not. I hope
going
not.
Into companies.
I don't think
the CIA is coming into your graphic design department and like messing with PSD files to like with your registered trademarks and just trying to like change the colors on you without you noticing.
Yeah,
but I think it could be used on a much like bigger scale where they gradually take your freedoms away until that starts feeling normal. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden fast forward 5-10 years later and a lot of freedoms are gone and you feel kind of normal about it because it's been happening so slowly over a long period of time.
Right.
I think that's what leads a lot of people to believing in some of the conspiracy theories that are a little more out there, because they see reality not as it should be because of that Overton window moving, which is your term. You should have defined that.
I read that book.
It was called Overton Window?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good one. All right, we're on to the next one. We're going to talk about... All right, this one's just...
the Overton Window?
I don't actually.
So the over,
just
all right,
ran
so
over it.
Real quick. The Overton Window is basically how you push for change, where you kind of... What is the line of normal? So how do I explain it?
Let's say your goal is to get to like one point, but you know you can't just start with that. It would just be way too big of a change and too crazy for everybody.
Can I give a good example? It's like taking away guns, right? Everyone says, no, we're never going to take away your guns, right? But then you shift the Overton window where it's like, well, you can't have this many rounds. You can't do this. Might be a bad example, but I just use one example to see what I'm talking about. And then it becomes normal to only have 8 bullets in a clip.
Who would need 15 rounds in a clip?
Yeah.
What are you doing to deer out there? Little slow steps to get to that bigger picture.
Yeah,
instead of all at once.
Combined with fabricated emergencies and things. And I'm not saying what is real and not real. I don't even know. But let's just say nobody did as strict of airport security before 9/11. It's like if they wanted really, really, really strict stuff, they could make something up and then get stricter for a little bit because of an emergency. Almost like with the masks and virus, if you didn't believe in it, it's like, we want everybody to do this down the road. We want everyone to get all these shots and wear masks all the time, but they're not just going to do it. So we'll have them do it for a little bit and then it feels normal.
Right.
And the next time we tell them to do it, they're used to it. And then eventually you just kind of go down the path you're trying to go down.
Fear mongering? Is that it?
Of who?
It's part of it.
I don't know.
If you can use fear to get people compliant.
Right.
So me and Mike were talking about yesterday, actually, how the idea of story, is the most powerful thing, the powerful weapon you can use against human beings. We feel that real emotion when you're told a good story, and that real emotion connects with the fake information in your brain, and now you feel like that's real information. So fear is you can tell someone a story that scares them. That's a very, very good motivator. Mm-hmm. You could also tell them a story that's really heroic and you feel like you've achieved something, when all that is malarkey itself. We'll get to that in the moon stuff.
All right.
But let's move on real quick. Just for this next one. This one's a weird one. It's called the Time Traveling Trump Family. There's a theory out there,
okay,
right, that the Trump family, whether it be Donald Trump himself, there you go. No, that's fine. I
might put it back on.
Yeah, no, let's play this game.
I actually don't know this one. If you don't know it, take off
that. I've never heard this one, so the hat's coming off.
Okay. So there is incredible connections made between the Donald Trump family and the idea of time travel. There's this book by this author named Ingersoll Lockwood. You ever hear any of this?
No.
It's an old book. It was written in a series of books. The last one is called The Last President. And in it, this was in 1883. And in it, Baron Trump, the spell, two R's is Donald Trump's son, Baron. One R, this Baron in the book.
Okay.
Baron Trump. The previous book, he goes on adventures in Russia and goes underground and, I don't know, discovers new lands and stuff. And his mentor is this guy called the Don. There's like very strange connections. But in the last book, The Last President, this Baron Trump, he's caught up in this. There's an election. It's in New York City. Some guy outside of the political class actually won this election. And in the book, it talks about how there were riots outside of the Fifth Avenue Hotel in New York, which is today Trump Tower. I don't even think it was back then.
When's this book written?
1893, something like that. I have it here.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. I have heard this with like celebrities and stuff too, where they'll take like a celebrity photo and then find someone in history that it's a photo of them and they almost look like they're the identical person.
That will take me down a whole other rabbit hole.
So there's no pictures. There's a couple drawings in the book of Baron Trump, and he's just like looks like a little kid with his dog. But like there's characters that have the name Pence in that book. There's characters that there's just a lot of very strange similarities in the book that got people, especially in 2016, was Trump was like, oh, everything, all Trump conspiracies were occurring. I found it very interesting. And then someone found around that time that all right, do you know who Nikola Tesla is, right? Mm-hmm. He was a Serbian scientist that lived here and is sort of like at that time was sort of the competitor of like the main like Einstein and all that, like the inventor, crazy inventor basically guy. Why? What are you laughing at?
Just this whole story.
There's just two strange connections. The Nikola Tesla, it's been thought that maybe he figured out time travel. Because he talked about it at lectures. After he died, the FBI came in and took all his stuff. And one of the lead people of the team they sent in one MIT engineer to read over all the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that guy was John Trump, was Donald Trump's uncle, who Trump talks about all the time, how, like, you know, he's such a very smart guy. He speaks very, very highly of his uncle, John Trump, who died. But I'm just saying, those are the two connections that make up this, like, this weave of strangeness around Trump and time travel. And is it possible that his uncle read over Tesla's prototypes and actually passed that knowledge on? People are saying that Baron Trump, like Trump's kid, isn't really his kid. It's like someone from the future that came back. Little wild, little fun. I think there's some fun stuff in there. No one's got their tinfoil hats on, just for the audience.
What do you guys think?
It's a weird one.
I mean, I think that there could be connection between those people and the success that there is now. It doesn't necessarily lead to time travel.
Sure.
So
it's hard to believe in time travel. That's a tough one.
I feel like not necessarily time travel, but there's different dimensions and living in different dimensions that are kind of happening in different times.
Mm.
So I don't know. I haven't looked into this that much, so I don't have a huge opinion on it.
Sounds a little crazy.
I'm open to this actually being real, actually. So I should probably put my tin hat back on. All right.
I'm giving brief overviews of this stuff. Like, yeah, there's like more rabbit holes you can go down. Watch exactly. A 2-hour doc on it, and you'll be a believer. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I only delved a little bit into it, Mike.
Nah,
that's a nah.
Yeah,
we got a nah.
Ultimately, though, time travel, eventually it'll be possible. Mm. Maybe it is, and we just don't know. So I'm not saying, like, no matter
what. If it's eventually possible, what's to stop them from coming back?
I'm not saying it's nothing. I don't know. I'm just saying I don't know.
Why do you say it's eventually possible?
Because there's a lot of things we don't know. There's a lot of things that could happen. It's like, I don't know. There's a lot of stuff I think we don't know. It's above our pay grade. Sure. It's above our, we're not classified. It's classified, not for us to know. I think there's a lot of stuff going on that we will never know in our lifetime that we'll find out about. So I can't say it's not true, and I can't say it's true. I have like 5 minutes of information about it, but yeah. It sounds to me like not that plausible.
Mm-hmm. I agree, actually. I agree on that. I don't really. I'm not a subscriber to the Trump time travel.
You didn't
family.
Just take your hat off. You threw it on the floor.
I got a lot of things going on.
He put mine on. He stomped on his.
That was the trick question.
That was the trick question. No, not necessarily.
Well, I think there's more to it. Like I said, there's different avenues into that one specific theory. So it would. I don't know. There's multiple rabbit holes there to go down.
There's a lot of Trump stuff around that time period.
Yeah.
That if you also looked at all that tertiary information, would probably lead you even deeper into the time travel stuff. All right, I kind of rushed through those two to get to the moon stuff because I don't want this episode to be three hours long.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so this is a conspiracy theory that's old. It's old. It's over 40 years old. We had Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin and the other guys went to the moon. They walked around. They collected moon samples.
Buzz Lightyear.
Who was the guy in Buzz Mission Lightyear. Control?
The guy that who?
In Mission Control. Didn't you read a book? Or no, that was Chris. Read a book from... Was the guy in Mission Control the guy that, like the Apollo 8 guy, that was down on Earth that wore the vest?
I don't remember. I don't know his name.
Anyway, he just came out with a book like saying why the moon landing is real.
Is real
because he was the one that was like in the control room.
Hmm.
So I'm gonna start off with my tinfoil hat. I do want to say to begin with is in trying to research this topic, if you Google like the moon was the moon. landing real or moon landing hoax, what's proof of the hoax? Like I tried many different search to get hoax stuff, like to get people that agreed with me on this subject.
Yeah.
Very difficult. I'm talking 20 pages
you're talking
of scrolling
to like Google.
On like a Google search engine.
And you're, it's not all of now them you're were, on the do not fly list.
I'm really I'm on a list somewhere, but I searched a bunch of different things. It was hard to find the information I was because it's stuff that I've seen before. That I was just trying to bring back up for this podcast, and it was very difficult to find this info.
So well, that's here's a whole my nother, question yeah, with that. Ahead. Yeah, it's a whole other thing there. Why is that not on there? What are they hiding? Why don't they want people to think about it too hard?
Where
you know
that
what I
cornucopia
mean?
Go yeah. On my underwear.
I'm going to put mine back on.
So I found that interesting, and so all of them were like, why the hoax? Why hoax isn't a thing? Why these people are dumb? Like, it's all very mocking. It's all very...
I don't even know, is conspiracy theories in general consider a conservative or a right-wing thing or not necessarily?
I'd say it's a flip right now.
What do you mean?
I think it used to be more of a progressive liberal thing because the people in power were right-wing business owners, bad guys, you know, and now it's kind of flipped a little bit and now it seems like the left is going with whatever the mainstream opinion is and doesn't want to see the alternative. So now it's kind of right-wing
at this
point.
You've seen it before on social media or search engines when you're trying to look up for something. I think I was curious and I was like, will Trump win the election? And it's like, it was like 3 pages worth of no way in hell he can win.
Yeah.
Absolutely impossible. Yeah. It was like, how far do you have to go to just... It seems like certain messages are just like blocked. Like you cannot, they don't want anyone to think this is possible.
Right.
Yeah. I think to answer your question as briefly as I can, I think conspiracy theories tend to be a little more like anti-government or like distrustful of government. Mm-hmm. And I think that type of person, I don't think is left or right. I think there's a swing, just whoever.
So maybe that's what they're trying to censor. Anything that's anti government / the agenda.
Anything that doesn't ride the party line, I'd imagine, is probably
anything that questions. Oh, there goes my hat. Questions what the government is doing, I think, is what they're trying to hide.
I don't think that's left or right.
Yeah.
I don't like the government will, like when it comes to like movies and stuff like that, like it has to, I remember it had to paint the military in like a really good light for a long time. And if it didn't, then the movie like got nicked.
Mm-hmm. Most people don't know that the Department of Defense gives a lot of money to Hollywood, and they're even involved in the screenwriting in a lot of these movies.
Right.
They do it under the guise of like giving trucks and tanks and stuff to like, you know, big action scenes. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of like, there's a lot of input and a lot of money thrown into these Hollywood movies by our own like military. Which is interesting. Like, why would that be the case?
They want to paint a good picture of our military to make people want to join the military.
Sure.
And make, you trust the military. But you might get to this too. So when
I might get to
when
it.
When I knew that you were going to do the moon landing,
yeah.
I've always wanted to see like the original video because I'm like, oh, that would be cool to see. But that's one of the things when you try to look it up, you can't. And that you told me.
So yeah, there's a couple interesting facts about the videos that we see now.
Compared to what actually went, like, I want to just see that live broadcast from whenever it was.
So let's just, all right, so we'll talk about the moon real quick. Who right now, the show of hands, believes, like, we probably went to the moon? Like, you could be 60, 40, 80, 20, whatever, you fully.
I.
Mike believes for sure we went to the moon, or you're
I
like.
I say for sure. I like just. 90, 10? I've never even really thought about it, and I've never researched it, and I've never really questioned it, and I've heard people say it, and I just kind of. I haven't even been interested enough to even question it.
Sure.
It's kind of like people saying the world is flat, not round. I'm just like, haha, okay.
Is it just because that's what you've been told, so that's what you believe type situation?
I guess it's just what I learned in third grade. So.
Yeah.
All right, we'll continue down the line. You?
I don't think we did.
You don't think we did?
Yeah.
After our conversations this last week, I'm probably 60-40.
Yeah, I cheated.
You did. You cheated.
I gave him too much info.
The problem is because when we're in the hallway having these conversations, like, Steve gets really excited.
64?
And, I said 60-40, yeah.
64,
we landed 40. I'm like, there's something.
And what were you before the hallway conversations?
Oh, I was, of course, yeah, we landed on the moon.
Why like 90-10?
Yeah, just like you. I'd never really looked into it. I was just
or apathetic. You know what I mean? Like, there's no reason to, what does it matter even? Like, why are we looking at this?
Yeah, but in our questions, it's more been like, that's a good point. Why would that happen? And what's the idea behind it? So, but continue us down the path here, Steve.
Okay, I just wanted to see where we were at.
So I'm where Jared was a few days ago.
Yeah. Yeah, so, we'll see where he at.
Turn me into a Jared.
So to talk, you got to need a little historical context. So I'm going to throw a few dates down just to kind of go back in time to remember what was going on at that time. The Cold War was going on. So it was U.S. versus Russia, and it was an arms race to see who could make the more bombs. Think about the idea when I said that stories are the most powerful weapons.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, we had two countries telling the story of I have the most weapons, the most catastrophic doomsday weapons. So they were going back and forth. So that was going on. The space race was occurring because Russia in 1961, announced that they sent a man into space. They did. They were the first ones up there. So we were kind of behind at that point, 1961. And I believe it was 1960 where JFK promised that we are going to send by 1970, we're going to have men on the moon, you know,
men
and everyone cheered.
Moon.
Yeah. Everyone cheered. Maybe I got the date wrong. Cause I don't have it in my notes, but hey, it's a very famous speech. People can remember it. And for years after that, now everyone was talking about space, moon, all bunch of movies came out. Bring up the predictive program, movies and television, cartoons. Mickey Mouse was going to the moon. The Jetsons, everyone knew was going to the moon at that time.
Sudden.
Yeah, all of a sudden. So our brains are being kind of programmed to like, yes, moon, 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 moon. Meanwhile, Cold War is going on. Vietnam War is going on. Where am I? JFK was assassinated in 63. This is like after he gave that big speech about how he wanted to dismantle the three-letter agencies like the CIA or the FBI. He was assassinated. We could save that for another
podcast. That's its own rabbit hole.
That's its own thing. Yeah. I started, and I'm like, no, I'm going to delete. Can't do that. And then in 1969, that's when we made to the moon. I think it was Truman who was president at the time. But 2 years before that Apollo mission that was successful, there's an audio recording of the main guy – behind the scenes NASA guy talking to JFK, talking to the, not JFK, the president at the time, I think it's Truman. And they're talking about whether or not he thinks we're going to make it. This was 2 years before we made it. He's like, no, I don't think we're going to make that date, that cutoff, you know. And they're like, okay, all right. And then the conversation goes on to other things. So that to me is an interesting data point.
How did you find that conversation?
It was an internal, I mean, the presidential records, any call. The president makes an official capacity. It's all recorded.
Mm-hmm.
And after 10 or 15 years, it all comes out in the Library of Congress. So I can pull it up, but I'll leave it in the show notes for people to click and listen to it themselves. So that's just sort of the historical situation. After we got to the moon and the whole globe kind of watched on TV this event. It was, I would argue, probably the first televised global event, sort of bringing all the people of Earth together to watch human achievement. It was the top tier of human achievement at that time. We've made it to the moon. And Neil Armstrong's words, what did Neil Armstrong say?
One small step for man, one giant step for America.
Or was it
leap? One giant leap for mankind.
Oh, mankind.
Notice he doesn't mention God anywhere.
No, he doesn't.
No, it's all man's achievement at that point.
I was just making a spoof on you saying the world coming together.
Oh, so. Sure. Well, I mean, it was. There was people all over the world listening to the broadcast.
He said for mankind, not for America.
Sure, yeah. So that's sort of the backstory as to what happened. Now, there's a few facts about, because that's all we remember. I wasn't alive then. I didn't watch the thing. So I just know it happened, and that was that. And you talk to people that were around when it happened, they're like, yeah, of course it happened. I watched it. It was there.
Right.
You said 40 years ago. It was like 60 years
ago. It was over 40 years ago. I just say that.
Yeah.
It was 1916. I mean, the last time we went to the moon. So here's some more facts.
Okay, continue. Sorry.
We landed on the moon. There are six flags on the moon. All of them USA. They all happened within a span of like 10 years, and then we stopped going to the moon. We said, no more. We've done too much moon stuff. In that time, the other countries, especially Russia and China, sort of joined our space program, or we became an international space pursuit. Space became a thing for everybody, and all the countries got together. Even Russia, even though we were fighting them in the Cold War at the time, that was sort of the beginning of the end of the Cold War, where they came together. You're getting bored, Mike. You're getting bored.
No, what other flags are on the moon?
That's it.
Why?
Six flags. I don't know. It's weird. It's one of the weirdest things about it is that we went there. We went there over and over and over again.
If we didn't go there, how'd we put flags there?
Well, we're getting there.
What I'm arguing is that there's no flags on the moon. Okay. If they are, then they were planted by unmanned things.
If that's
the case. It's just an image created to show us that we went to the moon.
So the theory of the moon landing being a hoax is basically, it's pretty simple. We tried to get to the moon. We realized we couldn't. We had made that promise to the world. In a move to try to unify and have that triumphant victory, we put the plan in motion to... We blasted a rocket off. I believe the astronauts went into orbit because we had done that. That's about 400 miles up. But they didn't go 236... I forget the actual... It's over 200,000 miles to the moon in that little like tinfoil thing that they see on the moon and then blast that off the moon and come back another 200,000. After all the things that I've seen, there's no way. There's no way that occurred. Scientifically, a lot of people look back and I go, how did we broadcast that? You know what I mean? Sometimes I have bad service on my phone. I go in my bathroom. You know what I mean? How did we get all that footage, pretty clear footage
from the moon,
200,000 miles to us where we all sat and watched it and gulped it up?
Very interesting.
It's a little
suspect. How could you do that?
I don't know. There's a lot of people are saying like that doesn't sound right.
Is that something we could do back then? Not from the moon, but all over the world?
I think there's a lot we can't do that we think we can. You know, like that we just assume, oh, we humans have all this technology. Of course we can go do that. I don't even think we can. There's something called the Van Allen radiation belts around the Earth. They protect us from like cosmic rays, like sun flares and stuff like that. And they're highly radiated. So like now we don't go past it because humans would, you know, have problems, get cancers and stuff if they go up there. So that's just another data point here. I'm trying to make this concise, but I want to show a clip because to me it's one of the most damning clips that I've found.
I want to see your clip.
Yeah, I know.
My one thought for why we haven't gone back is just money. Like how much does it cost to go and what's the point of going back? If there's no reason to go, why spend the money to go?
I kind of get that argument, but also why didn't other countries go? Don't they want their flag up there?
No. Why would all it these just other countries? Be us? Yeah.
They don't care.
I think what happened is we
they want to conquer this problems. World first. What's up?
They got other problems.
Yeah, I got other problems.
Yeah.
We had nothing going on, so we're like, let's go to the moon.
They said, forget it.
Mm-hmm. They said, we first come, we didn't make it. Who cares?
So what I think occurred...
We'll go to the next moon.
We went up...
we'll go to the next moon.
We got up into orbit. They switched the feeds from the orbit feed of them in the... Because they're floating around in some of these videos. You know, uh-huh. they're obviously... in orbit. They're out in outer space. No gravity.
No gravity.
No gravity situation. And then the whole rest of the, when they're on the moon, that's all studio set. And coming from a film background, and the equipment that they had to like train to do the moon landing, it's all like they literally had everything they needed plus $130 billion in order to pull that off. And I don't think, because there was 400,000 people that worked on the Apollo program, mm-hmm. building all the things, but they were spread out throughout the whole continent of the United States, each doing their compartmentalized piece of the mm-hmm. the rocket, or you know, they have, someone's working on the telemetry diagnostics, someone's doing this. So like, that all came together. I'm sure a lot of them, most of them probably thought they were really going to the moon and felt that achievement at the end of it. And not that their work wasn't worthwhile. I mean, it probably helped us send other things up there and whatnot. But that the first one is the one I just don't believe. I haven't looked into the other ones either. Because let me show this clip, because you're a video guy. I think you'll appreciate what goes on.
The behind the scenes of the studio.
So, no.
Well, my point that Steve made was they had everything they needed to train these astronauts that they could make these happen. They could float them around with whatever they already had for their training.
So she knows about this stuff.
I do.
I think she's looked into this a little bit.
So you're saying they can make anti-gravity here on Earth?
That's how they train them, don't they?
I thought they put them in pools.
No, they can do anti-gravity rooms. You can go do that over at iFly.
What? No, that's air. That's air blowing
you up. You can float around. For sure you can float.
I've never heard of an anti... Like, I know that they've done stuff with airplanes where you take you up in the airplane and you can have, like, a free fall for, like, 30 seconds
of no gravity.
They must have anti-gravity areas.
So you could, like, build that inside of an airplane. I could see that happening, but I don't think that there's anything on the Earth that you turn on a button and all of a sudden there's no gravity.
Well, maybe not for us, but maybe for NASA.
Yeah, they have.
I don't know about that.
They're probably like, why do they need to float around?
So just as what you were talking about the footage, is that NASA doesn't actually have any of the moonwalking footage anymore.
Right.
According to that agency, all the tapes were lost back in the 1970s, all 700 cartons of tapes. So and what was broadcast out?
Smoke fire.
What was broadcast out to everybody in 1969 was the news agencies brought their cameras in and filmed the TV. See, so there was no live feed. So you know how crappy it looks.
Yeah.
You know when you watch it, that's because it went through like four different versions of recording and coming back before it reached your eyes. You know what I mean? So there's no clear version of these tapes anyways. Man,
I do feel
this video is 47 minutes long.
We're not watching all 47
minutes. I feel like if this was like a big achievement, like you do everything you could to protect that footage. I don't know. That's the one that kind of got me thinking.
I feel like Jared's fully on board now.
I'm not fully
on
board.
He's trying to convince
me. I'm telling you that's the thing that made me like tick a little bit more towards the middle was...
You know what I was telling Steve the other day?
No, I don't.
You don't, because you weren't there. It was just me and Steve. But ultimately, this is like an issue in today's world. We really don't know for sure when something's true or not. Not truth in general, because I believe there is truth. Mm-hmm. But we don't know when we're watching news or if you're seeing on social media what is fake mm-hmm. and what is real and what is fabricated and what is trustworthy.
Propaganda.
And it's like every person for themselves is deciding what source they find trustworthy. So like, I'm not saying anything's impossible or possible. It's like I'm at the point now where anything, I need to think about everything and try to discern it all. And just because you Google something and read something doesn't mean it's true.
Sure. And you have to be careful because everything nowadays has an agenda.
Right.
Even the most benign thing, you think it's, oh, that's no big deal.
Fruit Loops.
Yeah, Fruit Loops. Let me just buy some Fruit Loops. Like, you don't know, you know, I'm just saying everything you kind of do or put your time into is important. It's important to know what you're doing is good for you.
That's the frustrating thing is because how do you know what is true and what's not true?
That's why people start thinking about these conspiracy theories. That's why there's a rise of them. I think the lack of truth.
We were also talking about the Bible. We said it's a nice thing to know that's true, that's just a good guidebook when nothing else, you have any idea whether it's true or not.
When nothing else makes sense, you at least have that.
Yeah.
All right, we'll watch this clip real quick. I'll try to talk through it, just in case.
Happening here?
So this is there's many documentaries about moon landing and hoax. This is this is by a guy named Bart Siebrel. He made a few other ones. One of which he goes to all the astronauts and like asks them, but puts them to tell them to swear on the Bible that they went
to the moon.
That's a little weird.
And they all got so pissed off. Like, their reactions are just wacky. They're wacky. But he found this footage. It was like in the unused tapes of the NASA. So what you're gonna watch is footage from the capsule, looking at Earth from far out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
This is and
so they're inside the original.
They're inside the original. Rocket. This is Neil Armstrong, and they're heading out. I don't know who that is.
Okay. There's my son's doing a book report on Neil Armstrong at school tomorrow.
In this never before seen or heard footage.
So what's being claimed here is that someone else is talking to the astronauts on a separate channel, not the official channel that we all heard. Is what's being claimed.
It's creepy music.
This isn't as important, but it kind of has a good leadway into the point.
Quickly prompts them with talk. Immediately, Neil Armstrong speaks.
Apollo 11, Houston, Golf Dog says that the TV looks great. Over.
Here is the slate for the 19th of July. And the
I'm stopping it there because maybe if you don't really know how cameras work and how the aperture can be changed, do you understand what they were talking about? I'll start with Jared because you probably the most knowledge.
I understand that they're saying that they darkened everything and they put the camera way back here to make it look like the Earth was a lot smaller inside.
That the little window was the Earth.
Right.
When in reality, they're close. They're in orbit.
Mm-hmm.
When they look out that window, it's Earth everywhere. Bright, bright light Earth.
Sure.
That video to me is, because to me that's as proof as I need with all the other circle. We can go through pictures of the shadows on on the moon, the flag, all that. We can go through all that malarkey, and you can go through and watch documentaries about it. But that footage that this guy found, he was asking the astronauts about it, and they were also getting very mad, very pissed off about it.
Well, could they? I don't know. Isn't like if you're filming and for a YouTube video and you just get certain B-roll or certain nice things to add in just to make it a better video.
Yeah.
Is that just something they wanted better for broadcasting?
It could be if they were 130,000 miles out, like he said in that clip, then the Earth would be a tiny little dot when they put their face to the window and look out. It wouldn't be. You can see it when the aperture comes up. They turn up they open up their lens. Now you can see the inside of the thing and that the dim Earth became super bright. It wouldn't be that bright out the window if you're 130 miles out. So I don't know. I think people should watch some of these documentaries. I think they're interesting if you're kind of interested in this sort of thing. To me, I don't buy that at all. There's no reason for them to fake that shot if they actually went 200,000 miles to the moon. There'd be no reason to play that game with the light and the little crescent moon thing.
So if we didn't go to the moon, what does that mean?
What does that mean? Yeah, that's a good question.
What does that mean to you? And what does it mean to us?
I think to me, it's proof that what we talked about earlier about the idea of story being the greatest weapon. And I think our country sort of won the Cold War because we did this little spoof. We made a little spoof to make it seem like we had all the power. And it seems like to me like this was the beginning of the propaganda machine, the Hollywood propaganda machine, when we realized that's where the money, that's our greatest asset as this country, that's our weapon, is we pump it out and it goes all over the world and everyone watches it and gets whatever that emotional response. And I think that's the NASA program maybe wanted to go to the moon at one point, and then they had to shift gears and do movie magic instead. And
so that's ultimately, what it seems like to me. It's a bigger picture on power and world status. Sure.
And the nature of the idea, how we see space, how I see space, is a little different after watching that clip.
Well, NASA as a whole is a also controversial topic, which is a different rabbit hole as to what NASA actually stands for and is abbreviated for. So it's just the whole thing.
You're talking about Nazis, aren't you?
Well, talking about a lot of things.
Well, I mean, one of the theories is all the head Nazi scientists in World War II,
lost
we
it.
Brought them over here and they helped us go to the moon, is the original theory.
But we know there's propaganda, and we know that there's, and it was just take America out of the picture so everybody doesn't get all sensitive. But
no, I think every country's got the propaganda.
But like some, it's we just know it. They censor everything. You can't go on the internet. You only get the message that the government tells you, and they tell you the story they want to tell you, mm-hmm. and you really have nothing to compare it to. You have no way to validate it. You have no one to talk to. It's like it's almost like what Scientology does sometimes with people from documentaries I've seen. It's like you just put people in a little bubble and tell them what you want to tell them, and they've got nothing to compare it to. Yeah. And that's all they hear. So that's their reality.
Yeah.
And then it's like, okay, so for us, we find out certain things, what's true, what's not true. I feel like a lot of us are at the point, like, who knows? Like, we really don't know any of this stuff. And if it is wrong, what does that even mean?
I guess the question
is, the government's trying to get control and has an agenda, like, obviously.
The question I have is, like, when do these we all kind of know we're being lied to fairly often, but like, when does it matter? Like, when, like, what lie is going to be so too far? Like, one lie too far?
Right.
Where's that line? Like, when do we have to start paying attention?
Well, there was the line, like World War II, there was the line for people, and there's whole rabbit holes with that too. Sure. But I mean, then when it comes down to your own self or your family or your freedoms, or if you're winding up having to, like, participate in hurting other people, or you're, I don't know, how do you answer that question?
Yeah, that's what I worry about. That's why I look into these things,
because I want to know. You can feel like it's going in the wrong direction.
Yeah, you know it's kind of going in the wrong direction.
But you also feel like it's not quite affecting me personally yet. And, you know, but I'm making moves as I go, just kind of feeling things. You know, we're in private school, and, you know, I live in Florida. Like, these are good decisions as far as I'm concerned.
Sure, yeah.
To keep some freedoms and, I guess, a little bit of control over things. But ultimately, if they're going to shut down on us, what are we going to do?
Yeah.
Fight back? Civil war? I don't know. There's a lot of information, and there's a lot of stuff going out, and a lot of people with a lot of feelings and getting upset. But like, even like InfoWars, I used to watch it 10 years ago, and I was get all super fired up about it. And then I realized, well, okay, so what should we do?
What's the action?
And it's like, there's no action.
Yeah, that's the problem I see.
All this has caused for me is have an open mind, listen to different ideas, do your research, and think for yourself.
I like that. That's a good message. Yeah. Any last words from Jesse?
I could talk about all these different things for forever. So I'm glad we talked about it. I think it kind of brings light to the situation and opens people's minds to different scenarios. So
what was the first thing that opened your mind to any of this stuff?
2020.
Okay. Yeah. Fair.
Oh, wow.
The propaganda machine worked so hard.
Oh, you don't remember?
You don't remember the Pan D?
Oh, yeah.
The Pan D. So, yeah, I think there it just kind of opened my mind to everything, and I just ran with it.
Yeah.
Just watching the fear narrative.
Yeah.
You went from, like, status quo, good upright civilian.
That was
like
the story that went too far.
Yeah. Wow.
That's the story.
Yeah, I mean, there's going to be those.
The one where they went, oops, we went a little too far. People aren't believing us.
Right. They took it a little too far.
They woke too many people up to it. Yeah.
Is it a generational thing? Does each generation start thinking differently?
I think they have to ramp it up faster. And I think with the advent of the internet, it's harder for them to lie as easily. Like, it's hard to keep a cap on stuff. So now they have to keep us in this constant state of, like, panic or flight or distraction, or, oh no, right. all the chicken farms are blowing up. Oh my gosh, what's this over here? Yeah.
Like, distractions, right?
It's the muddying the waters, right? I mean, they're always just throwing out new things. So you can't know what's true and what's not true.
That's what in the very beginning, we talked about the...
And why?
Exactly. Right? Who knows?
I have no idea.
Why is power?
And even the thing that I was going to say is frustrating is that even when something is brought out as a lie, there's absolutely no accountability for anything.
No one cares.
Exactly. And so it's like,
could it be? You know, they're like, Satan?
Oh man, they.
Well, that's they a did whole this, other rabbit
they,
hole.
They did that, you know. And so it's like, it's just frustrating that it doesn't even matter if it comes out to be true or false, because there's absolutely no accountability or consequences.
I mean, this year we found out the CIA had something to do with JFK's murder. Like, official papers came out. And no one cared.
Yeah.
Well, because
no one
the media is also involved in very much of this agenda, so they had to keep it covered up, and no one can hear about it because it's very much restricted.
I didn't hear any about that. Yeah. I also don't watch the news on purpose because I don't getting all worked up and upset.
Yeah, I don't anyway. Yeah.
I was mentioning this too. The elections are coming up like within a year.
Hey, what's coming?
Well, there's going to be some stuff that's going to be hard to ignore, and I don't know what it is, but I remember last election, I was on a news break. I'm like, I don't watch the news. It just gives me anxiety. It gets me like irritated and kind of they get you worked up over things, get everybody in their corners.
That's the point. Yeah.
And then something crazy happens that you're like, oh my gosh, how everyone tells you about it and it's everywhere and you start paying attention, but it's only right till the election.
Are they trying to get everyone so annoyed that we all don't pay attention at all anymore so then they can do whatever they want because no one's paying attention?
I think it worked. I think we're there already.
And well, if you do pay attention, then you're labeled as crazy, and what are you thinking? Crazy person, yeah.
Well, there's no attention span. We're also like zombies, just addicted to technology, just sitting there staring at 10-second TikTok videos all day. Yeah. And then there's something actual 30-minute video you need to watch to learn something, and everyone's like, nah, I'll just go look at my food.
I'll just
People
Google
start
it.
To care, though, when all of a sudden you can't afford food or you can't, you know.
When gas prices go up.
The basic necessities in order to function in everyday life, when those start to fade away, that's when
people start paying attention.
Well, they pay attention and they start going a little more crazy.
Well, that's the thing, actually, is like we can always get better in America, but like it's actually a great time to be alive. And the problems we have are not like they used to be. Mm-hmm. We actually have a pretty soft, easy. We are the richest. Like, if you make more than $37,000 a year, you're the richest 1% of people in the entire world. If you take everybody's in, and if you're in America and you make over as a household, I could be quoting it wrong. I just heard it this weekend, but I think it's like $300,000 as a household. You're the richest, like 1% in America.
Oh, wow.
Basically, we have it pretty good in general, just as Americans, and we're coming up with all kinds of distractions and ideas and fighting with each other over things that maybe aren't as big of a deal. We're fighting over whether people are men or women, and that's what we're fighting about.
Silliness is occurring.
Yeah, it's like an elite argument that we get to have.
Right. The fact that we can argue about that stuff shows like things aren't that bad.
Yeah. I recommend people to go and don't watch the new Thor Love and Death or whatever the heck that was called.
It's Love and Thunder.
I'll put some docs in the show notes. You can click on, and it's hard sometimes to find this stuff. People don't know. You have to really spend time to find like the information that's not just like a wackadoo like thing. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like to find the actual docs that make sense. It's hard. So I'll put a couple of the things about the moon in the show notes, and you guys can check them out if you
That's
want.
That's good. Well, hey, thanks so much for joining us for this special Strong by Design episode. Thanks, Steve, for putting this stuff together for
you're
us.
Welcome.
And hey, if you like this, make sure to share and comment. Let us know. Man, we'd love to hear back from you about your thoughts and conspiracies and things like that. And if you guys like this show, maybe we can get Steve to come back and share a couple of other ones in the future. But hey, we release a new episode every single week on Wednesday, so make sure to keep up with us. We're not just talking conspiracies, but we talk about family, fitness, faith, all kinds of good stuff. So we'll catch you guys on the next one.
Thank you so much for listening to the Strong by Design podcast. If you found value in today's episode, please subscribe so that more people can find out about our show. Plus, you don't want to miss any future episodes with the amazing guests and topics we have lined up for you.